This is football. I am Kevin Clark. Friday before the Super Bowl episode coming to you. It is stacked. We're very lucky. We're going to start with Andrew Hawkins, who is obviously a former NFL wide receiver who had wonderful analysis of Mahomes, tied it to the Brady offense, which he was in. I really learned a lot about this, about the chemistry with Kelsey, some of the Niner stuff. I love this. He's a fun, funny guest. This has exceeded my already high expectations. Michael Irvin is next. I don't really know how to describe this one. I'm gonna let you guys listen. It was as funny a conversation I've ever had, but also it touched on a lot of like real deal football. And I think it was a chuckle fest, but you also learned a lot about sustained winning, the Cowboys, what he expects on Sunday, all that. Also, some takes that I let him give, and I stared into the camera if you watch this on the digital version. Bijan Robinson after that, Bijan talked a lot about missing tackles, which is obviously an art the Niners do really well. I learned a lot about how you do that, about what impresses him, about the Niners, their ability to make people miss. He's as good an athlete as there is in the sport, and the way he talked about athleticism and making guys miss and what we can expect on Sunday was really cool. And then Aiden Hutchinson, who obviously played the Niners a couple of weeks ago, he's got a lot on the Niners, on Detroit's amazing season, the atmosphere, the future, Dan Campbell, all of that stuff. I really enjoyed Aiden. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Hawkins. Andrew Hawkins is here, co-founder and president of Status Pro. As this thing falls apart on me, needs a little Status Pro help here. He's also a former NFL receiver, one of a podcaster, media member, everything. I wanted to ask you, because we were just talking before we started recording here. You said you're probably going to the game on Sunday. You've been since you retired, but it's not cool to go to the game as a current player. Can you explain this?
Yeah, no, it's like, I don't know. It's like an unwritten rule that current players shouldn't be at the Super Bowl unless you're playing in it. Like, it's weird. I don't care. Fans feel like it's weird. Players feel like it's weird. Coaches in front office. I mean, nobody really speaks about it. My brother taught me it because he played 9 years in the league.
Yeah.
And he would never go, and it was the same thing. Like, imagine you're a fan of a team and you go to the Super Bowl and you see a player there as a fan as well. We all love football. It's just, I don't know. It's like bad juju or something.
Wow. I'd never really thought about that. And you're right, because one of my favorite things to do is to walk around the concourse like an hour before the game. And you'll see, because the best thing about the Super Bowl is like, real deal celebrities have to sit in like row 10 of the lower bowl. There's no room in the box. There's no room on the sideline. It's like, I remember like seeing Rasheed Wallace at the last Chiefs Niners one. It's like, you know what? She would get a box if this was like a random October game. But you know what she's doing? Housing a pizza right now, right in front of me. It's that kind of thing.
You
never actually see like Stephon Diggs walking around.
You imagine Joe Burrow just walking around the stadium as the Niners are playing the Chiefs. No, that doesn't even it doesn't even feel right.
Couple things about the game. First is this, is that obviously had a successful NFL career, and I ask all receivers who've come on the show this week this question. Could you even conceive of what it would be like to catch a pass from Patrick Mahomes? Just like the creativity, the improvisation, a route never being dead. Explain, having played the position, like what that would be like. And if you just say, damn, if I don't play with somebody like that.
This is good. See, first off, I'm excited about this question and to get deep football, because this is my first time on an Omaha Productions show. And I'm just going to imagine Peyton Manning is sitting over there and I have to impress him with my football knowledge.
He is.
Yeah. So
we real deal disguises over here.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not
that's,
so
that's
much.
That's Peyton and Eli.
I know. This is great. Yeah. It's terrible disguises. I know it's you guys, number one. But it's not so much of like what the past would feel like. It's not any different. Yeah. But it is the mindset that, and I don't care how great of a receiver you are, we know the playbook so much. And a lot of times we know the progression. And based on the defense, I typically know when I'm getting the football and when I'm not. Yeah. So you have to go into a play, know that there's a 10% and maybe below chance of you getting the ball and still make everything look and feel like you're getting the ball, which matters. When you play with Patrick Mahomes, everybody is live always. Yeah. And that's the biggest difference, is you go into the plays knowing that there's as good a chance as any that you're getting the football because he's going to improvise and find you if you're the open guy. The best quarterbacks, I always say, if you're a receiver for Peyton Manning, you're a receiver for Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Joe Burrow, yeah, the list goes on. The number one receiver for those guys is the open receiver.
Yeah.
That is not the case for everyone. So anytime you have these quarterbacks that have a tendency to lock on to a guy, it should tell you what level of quarterback they are.
That's a good
I'm
way
just
to put
saying.
It.
I'm just putting that out there for you.
So I actually did a piece with Burrow and Zach Taylor going into the season. And mm-hmm. Zach Taylor said, there were times in that offense when Burrow's cooking, the uh-huh. guys will run what do they call in Cincinnati a for the love of the game route,
yep,
where you're only running it just because.
I ran a lot of those. Yeah. It was the majority of my routes.
And Burrow can find you on that.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of guys
no.
in the NFL, but Mahomes is one of them, where it just the whole field is in play. And it changes the way defenses have to cover every blade of grass.
It makes them play you honest.
Yeah.
Right. And again, that makes everybody better. Because even as a receiver, if I know I'm running a deep post, I would love to get a deep post.
Yeah.
I would love to catch this bomb from Joe Burrow. But if I know I'm not getting it, I'm like, okay, I just need to do my job and make sure this guy goes with me, give him eye contact.
Yeah.
But in that moment where I'm running full speed, even if I don't get it, but if I go into the play thinking I'm going to get it, indirectly, I'm running the route like I'm going to get it. And that safety is going to say, damn, he was an option here.
Yeah.
So the next time, they have to respect it every single time. And if they're respecting each and every route, it makes the picture that much more clear for a quarterback like Joe Burrow.
Can you explain the chemistry between Kelce and Mahomes? Because
yep.
it feels like, you know, space is the lifeblood of football. And mm-hmm. if you can find it, you can do good things. And it just feels like there was a stat the other day that blew my mind that basically on plays that take more than 3 seconds with pressure,
mm-hmm.
Mahomes and Kelce are like literally 50 times better than anybody else. So what that yeah. literally means is like when crap hits the fan, we bleep out curses here.
Okay.
Crap,
we do that at Omaha?
We do that at Omaha.
Eli was flipping the bird on national television. What's it? Getting soft.
Only the bosses.
Here.
Only the bosses.
I missed the fun times, my first time on, and we're already not having fun.
Only the bosses.
This is ridiculous.
So, but when crap hits the fan, they're able to find space somewhere.
Uh-huh.
They explain that chemistry and what that looks like.
You know, it's like being married.
Yep.
You know, like I don't have to talk to my wife to know what she's gonna think about what I just did. I know it. I can see it the way she sees it. Whether or not that is how I would see it, I know how she sees it. Football is very much that same way. No, that's not a lot X and O's and analytical, but Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have been together so long. They've operated at such a high frequency for such
right.
a long time that they see the game in the same ways. And so when I went to New England my last year, I played 3 years for the Bengals, 3 years for the Browns, asked for my release and thought, man, I'm going to go try to latch on with the Patriots and be a winner. And I would get there in the offseason. Now, I was coming off of graduating from Columbia with my master's degree. That is not a flex.
No big deal.
It's kind of a flex.
No big deal.
But I'm saying that to illustrate I had no problem learning playbooks.
Sure.
So I would get this playbook at the Patriots, and Tom Brady, Julian Edelman's there, Amendola's there, and I'm like studying it. Boom, boom, boom. I go out on the field. They're running the plays that I have on the playbook, and they look nothing like it.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my career. I'm like, am I in the twilight zone? Because that is not the play
yeah.
that we went over. But the reality was the reason why they were so good, because it wasn't about learning the plays. It was about seeing the defense the way Tom did. And that's what Danny and Julian could do because of the time they spent together.
Yeah.
That's what Travis Kelce has, where he's 34 years old. He may not have the same juice he had when he was 27, 28, 29, but he understands defensive football, as does Patrick Mahomes. And he can run routes against coverages that the typical rules would tell you, there's no way in hell
yeah.
you're getting this football. Below 3% chance that anyone throws that, and the ones that do throw it are bad quarterbacks. He will hook up a corner route
yeah.
in between three defenders because he knows, hey, Mahomes, if they run the perfect coverage versus a corner, cover two, and he's sitting there, and there's an undercoverage and a trailer, I'm just going to hook up in this. If you throw it, I'll just know. I'll cut my route off early and throw my hands up, and the timing will be there. That's why they're so special.
That's fascinating. Chiefs aside, Kelce aside, the San Francisco skill guys,
mm-hmm.
the one that stands out, the one you love watching most in that San Francisco offense is who?
The one I love watching the most That's a loaded question. I can't even I like watching. I love Debo. I love McCaffrey. I love Kittle. Ayuk's development has been one of the coolest things to watch this year because he's truly the number one receiver. But I think that's what makes them special is their positionless football. I would say the one who doesn't get enough press juice, no pun intended, is Kyle Juszczyk. Yep. He is the guy to me. And honestly, his wife is more popular than him now.
I know.
But he is such a differentiator. He's such a unique talent in what he brings to the table. And I think in this game, he is going to be the key because Kansas City would typically throw a base defense to two running backs when 49ers tried him out there. And I could see Kyle whipping up some things to use Juszczyk in the pass game as a tight end opposite Kittle. That creates a matchup nightmare for the Chiefs because if they go base defense, he could have a field day. And if they go dime where they put in an extra defensive back, they'll be able to throw him in the backfield and just run it down their throat with McCaffrey. So Juice is a guy. He's so versatile, which is why Kyle, they kind of build the offense around what he can do. And like everything that's automated is there. All the little wrinkles come based off how they play Juice.
I am not asking everybody the hacky question of who's going to win this game, how does it go, but obviously
I'm sorry.
No, I really am because you have a lot of guys show up here that, you know, current players, whatever, and it's I like Mahomes.
Right.
But like obviously you have it at a deeper level.
Yep,
who wins this game and what kind of game is this?
I think Mahomes wins it.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Typically I agree. I would say there is matchups you could find on the field to differentiate this. I think Patrick Mahomes is a rule breaker in all of that.
Yeah.
And so even if the players come up here and say, I don't know, Mahomes, they're right. Because I think he's earned the right and he has shown time and time again that if he wakes up on the right side of the bed, no matter if you have the better team, no matter if you have the better matchup, no matter if your defense matches up great against him or their offense or what have you, he is going to be able to put and give enough for them to get a victory. I have him winning 27-24. I think he has a big passing day. I think Rashee Rice has a big day. I think the 49ers do their best to try to mitigate Kelce. I think Kelce still gets a touchdown. But ultimately, I think the Chiefs walk away with a Lombardi.
I agree. I think it's like 28-21, something like that. I just can't. I can't the whole week be like, well, Mahomes is in his MJ era. And then on Sunday be like, oh, he's going to lose this one. But, you know, generally he's in his Mahomes era.
Right.
All right. We're going to we ask a bunch of people the same questions. And we'll start here. We have a thing called badasses, which is the biggest badass you ever played with in football.
And played with?
Played with.
Okay.
Or, I mean, if something we can do against, too, like Marino a couple months ago chose Bruce Smith.
Okay.
Maybe that was an indictment of his teammates. But, you know, it is what it is. But the you can take it anywhere you want.
All right.
Your biggest badass in football, Andrew Hawkins, is who?
Biggest badass. Pac-Man Jones.
Oh.
Badass. I'll give you another one. Vontaze Burfict.
Oh, boy.
Badass.
Tell me what Vontaze Burfict was like, just being on the sidelines in the locker room. Like, that was...
Well, that's why he's
a
badass.
That was a moment in time.
Because Vontaze Burfict is the salt of the earth.
Oh.
You're talking about a soft-spoken, chill teammate, do anything for his guys, super polite, never gets mad, never gets out of character.
Yep.
And then he gets, as soon as he steps from the sideline on the field, he flips a switch.
Yeah.
And he is a completely different dude. And if you play with him, you love him because everybody's walking around on eggshells because they're like, we don't know what this guy is going to do. And the beauty of it was like, hey, we don't know either, buddy. Good luck.
We don't do this with everybody. We do it with people who played on really bad teams.
Okay,
I'm sorry
to do
this.
I've earned this.
You had a great career. Just, you know, sometimes you get the bad breaks.
Yep.
It's called
You had a great career is a perfect way to, you know,
you had a,
set up what you're
we
saying.
Call, unfortunately, we call it rock bottom theater.
Mm.
Played on those Browns teams. If your grandchildren say, granddaddy, what was low on those teams? What's the answer?
What was low?
What was the lowest? The
lowest
moment for the team, not, I mean, you personally, but like, just where it's like, okay, it's not going to get much worse than this.
Okay. I would, my last year in the league, this is when I knew the retirement was near. As a football player, You have to have unrealistic confidence.
Delusion.
Belief. Yeah. Delusion. There is a OCD element to how you train and work because you just ultimately think over time it's going to work out. Yeah. It does not matter how big Ray Lewis is. If he catches me in the hole, he's going to be eating through a straw tomorrow. That was my mentality as a player, right? So in my last year, the low was, we went 1-15 in my last year. The low was, for the first time ever in my life, I would be in pregame warmups and I would be like, you know, getting ready for the game, going through my process. And I would look across the other side of the field and I would think to myself, there's nothing we could do to win this game today. Mm. And that's when I was like, the music started playing in the background. The credits started rolling. I'm like, what? I was like, this is the end. And if there was a narrator, it would say, indeed, the Cleveland Browns did not win the game that day.
Do you remember what game? What defense?
All of them. I mean, we were fielding teams with, there was a time I think we had like 25 or 30 rookies on the active roster, which is, I mean, essentially that's a college football team.
Yes.
A college football team can't play against grown men. It's a reality. And we didn't have enough juice in the positions we needed. And it, we were just outmatched. And not even just outmatched, there wasn't enough of a grown-up NFL, I'm feeding my kids mentality for us to compete against other guys. So, you know, that was a low.
That was fit well into Rock Bottom Theater. Last thing before we get to what we're doing with Status Pro. It's called One Rep Back. You get to relive any rep of your career back. And a lot of it's like, you know, a lot of guys say blown tackles or, pass up the Josh Allen yesterday to the Shakir pass. You just wanted to step up in the pocket.
Yeah.
Some of them are lighter. Some of them are heavy. I mean, in Josh's case, extremely heavy. But it can be anything. I mean,
Josh went there, huh?
Josh. Yeah. Most guys are like.
Did he start crying?
It was a surprisingly emotional interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised by it.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he regretted doing Radio Row if he's still?
Regretted coming out with me. No, I'm kidding. He's a good guy. No, I think that's what fans and teammates want to hear is like, he wasn't blocking it out.
Right.
He was confronting it head on, replaying it in his head. And also I think that play, Chris Jones put Deion Dawkins in his lap. And I think him saying, I should have had better pocket presence.
Was him saying Deion Dawkins should have did his damn job.
No, I disagree. Maybe I'm wrong. I felt like it was leadership saying that was on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Deion Dawkins. That's a great answer. Not Chris Jones. Not Shakir. Yeah. I actually thought it was leadership.
No,
I think
agree.
The best way for a star quarterback to express leadership is to come on this show, particularly.
Yes.
And sit in the chair, give me as much time as possible, and exude confidence in leadership and ownership.
Right.
So like Mahomes can come on.
Yes.
Anytime. We're not. Lamar. Lamar.
Come on.
I don't have a flight until tomorrow night, so Mahomes can still come on.
He can still come on.
I think that'd be a statement for the team.
What is going to show better leadership heading into a Super Bowl
than coming on a podcast for Omaha Productions and ESPN?
The great backdrop.
Absolutely. Just says all that needs to be said. So you have the floor. One rep back for Andrew Hawkins.
Okay. Even though you gave me all that time to think about it, which is incredible broadcasting, by the way. Like, that's what you do. You ask the question first. You buy a bunch of time for them to think of a play. I still don't have one.
Wow.
So what
it sounds like you're telling me is you crushed every play.
I nailed it. I'm going to be honest with you. Hopefully that's a first here on playback. But honestly, I'm not even kidding. I just put out a low light. I put out low lights every week of the playoffs on my Instagram. And it is the funniest stuff in the world.
Of course.
Man. It is like, because I'm like, look at this dumb stuff I did in the NFL. I can't believe I was there doing it. And most people will never have that chance to. And so, I don't know. I just approach it like it is what it is. There really isn't a play that comes to mind. I mean, obviously, I've dropped passes. I've, you know, had one toe out of bounds that should have been touchdowns and all those. But I care about.
I love the perspective of you had a great NFL career. You like won. Yeah, you were in the playoffs and all that stuff. And like the thing I think we always, and you far surpassed this, but a lot of times it's like Nathan Peterman is a great example.
Yes.
Where it's like Nathan Peterman torched Clemson. Like great college career. Uh-huh. I was at Flowery Branch, Georgia a couple months ago, and they have a shrine at their high school, local high school, Ryder Park, they have a shrine to former, you may have even played with him, former South Carolina quarterback Connor Shaw.
Connor Shaw's my guy.
Okay.
He's a legend.
He's from Georgia, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So they have, it was either Connor Cook or Connor Shaw, but I know, 90% sure it was Connor Shaw.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, this guy, like, not a great NFL career.
No.
But he is the best player who's ever been anywhere near Flowery Branch, Georgia from a high school perspective.
Exactly.
And it's always funny to put that in perspective where it's like, there are guys who are the first cut, don't even think about it, on June 4th.
Uh-huh.
And from rookie minicamp. And those guys are like, there's like statues in their hometowns
of
those guys.
Where
and
from.
So like, to get to where you did is just like astounding relative to everybody else's.
And that's
I love that perspective.
I love it. Patrick Willis just went into the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay, so Patrick Willis, and I've seen this from at Dragonfly Jones on Twitter, so I'm going to shout him out because this is great. He went on Patrick Willis's Wikipedia. He went to his hometown, which I can't recall his hometown. I'm sure you guys can look it up.
Yeah.
There was 1,500 people population.
Yeah.
When you go to a town and it says notable people section, it said notable person. Patrick Willis was the only person listed. Never seen that before in my life. To your point, these are gods. Patrick Willis was a god in the league as well, but each football player that makes it to that level, I have my own day in my hometown. October 20th is Andrew Hawkins Day.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I have a holiday, bro. You know? So there you go.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, man.
I was I went to University of Miami. We got a quarterback transfer a couple weeks ago from Albany.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up his hometown on Wikipedia. And in the notable person section, we'll bring this up on the visual for the ESPN YouTube. The notable person said, Frank Sinatra had multiple mistresses in this town.
Wow.
That was a notable person. Is that Frank Sinatra came to have affairs in the town and then just bailed.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. That's all right, tell us about Status Pro, Andrew.
Status Pro is a tech company. I founded it with my partner, Troy Jones. Shout out to Status Pro TJ. And we build software. We build video games in VR.
Beautiful.
So we founded the company 4 years ago. We met 7 years ago. And we had a shared experience, and he was a Division I quarterback. Obviously, I played in the NFL, and our goal was to democratize what it feels like to be in the league. And that's what we've done. So you play our game on MetaQuest, PlayStation 2 VR, and you can play a full game as a quarterback in the league. You make the throws. You can run for the touchdowns, the roar of the crowd. The defense is chasing you. And it's been really well. It's been the fastest selling sports game in VR history.
Beautiful.
We hit a million customers in 15 months. We just closed our Series A round, which was led by Google. Other investors in the company are LeBron James, Maverick Carter, Lamar Jackson, Miles Garrett, Verizon Ventures, Graycroft, Main Street Partners.
Any big names?
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Naomi Osaka is a big name. She's number one. We're just kind of continue to build and find new ways for fans to engage. It's been a labor of love. It's been my passion. It's been our life's work. And it's continuing to flourish.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Peace to have me, Kay.
All right, we'll be back with Michael Irvin after this.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, one of the best receivers in NFL history, Michael Irvin, is here with Stunt. What's going on, man?
How you doing, my brother? It's so good to see you, man. Let me tell everybody, we were just talking about, you know, dudes from Florida and how different we are. And when I pulled up, I see my dog in his drip. I said, oh, okay. I see that drip. And then I said, where you from? I said, where you from? And what'd you say?
I said, Orlando, Florida. I went to University of Miami.
I said, oh, yeah. He told me, he said, we fam. I said, okay. I should have known by that drip because you're clean like that. And we different dudes from Florida, man. Everywhere you go, people always say, well, you from Florida? You from, man, y'all different dudes. And we are, man. So great drip, brother. You look good.
I appreciate that. What is being from Florida like to you? Like, what is the Florida style, the drip? Like, if you had to describe it to an alien, what are you saying?
Well, let me tell you something. We get a diversity of people in Florida.
Yeah.
And we believe that all colors are bright and nice. You know, when you go around the world, other places, they're stuck in colors. And we will wear what we want to wear because we usually have great weather and you can wear anything.
Yeah.
So we get... We grow up in great colors. We feel good about colors. Peacock proud. That's what we are. So it's all colors. And we all look crazy. Just look crazy too. All of us are just a little crazy.
A little bit crazy.
Just a little bit crazy. We were joking over here with all the guys over here about how every time I'm watching social media and something crazy happens, and it always starts with a man in Florida, yep. You know what I'm saying? And then people were like, always Florida. But I love
it. So here's the thing about Florida. Here's why there's so much crazy down there. Is because crazy people look at the America and they say, I can be crazy anywhere. I'm going to go where the weather is nice.
Right.
And then you end up crazy with a heavy concentration of people who just want to act like maniacs. And it's great.
But it's so, man, listen, though. There's nothing better than Florida.
There's nothing
there's
better.
There's nothing greater than Florida. And there's nothing more beautiful in Florida. I did a podcast, and they were asking me one time about, you know, what it was like playing with the Cowboys and winning Super Bowls and everything. And what was it like with all the women at the hotels before the game? I said, I'll get out of here, man. I was strong, man. That never bothered me. I was focused. I knew that weak in your legs. At least that's what they told me.
Sure.
And I focused and stayed steady. Unless I ran into some, like an IAN. He said, what's an IAN? I said, a Colombian, a Brazilian, an Italian, a Puerto Rican. All of them are in Florida. You see what I'm saying? All of them are in Florida. That's why I didn't move back to Florida. I stayed in Dallas.
That's beautiful.
But it's real. It is real. Wait,
wait. I appreciate that. That's why you stayed in Dallas. You couldn't do Florida. All right. You played obviously with a great quarterback when you were in Dallas, and you guys won Super Bowls, and it was as good as it gets. Have you ever thought what it would have been like to catch a pass from Patrick Mahomes?
Watching Patrick Mahomes, yeah. You're just what it's like to play with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, phenomenal, incredible. That's why I tell people, you know, as we talk through this, like, ultimately, in my world, we're always talking about who's the greatest and everything. And Patrick Mahomes you know, wins a few more Super Bowls, because we always go by who's the greatest on the tally.
Yeah.
The tally is how many Super Bowls, how many MVPs, you know, Joe Mo had 4 Super Bowls. How many do you have to get to be the greatest? If Joe has 4, and then Tom Brady, Troy had 3, and then Tom Brady comes in and wins 7.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes already at 2. And he went and got a chance to win his 3rd. You give him 2 more after this somewhere. And he say he gets to 4 or 5. Say he gets to 5. Do we say Tom Brady's the greatest because he has 7? When you know what your eye gate saw? Yeah. Your eye gate saw what Patrick Mahomes did to win the 5. Even, you know, Patrick Mahomes did way more things to Tom Brady. Yeah. In and out and all the plays and raising up teams. And now, right now, with this team he has and all the drops they had, if he gets this team to a championship, that's like, yeah. And he wins 5 of them, I can say my eye gate has seen enough. I don't need to tally evenly to say that, okay, Patrick Mahomes can be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Yeah. And he's the commingling of 2 of the greatest, if you ask me. When we saw Aaron Rodgers, we said, that's the greatest talent we've ever seen play quarterback. And when we have Tom Brady, he's the smartest quarterback we've ever seen. So shoulders up, he's great. Aaron Rodgers, shoulders down, he's great. Patrick Mahomes is the commingling of those two guys. Aaron Rodgers, shoulder down, Tom Brady, shoulder up, and he's a bad man and hard to beat.
Bad man.
Can see him as the greatest.
Bad man.
A bad man.
Are you impressed with what he's been able to do with that? Call it sorry receiving core this year?
Yeah, this year. And that gives him, remember what Tom always had. We always said, well, he never had the great receivers.
Right.
He lifted the Danny Amendolas and all of them, and he did. But now, with what he's doing right now, Patrick Mahomes, Rasheed Rice is coming on.
Of course.
And he's playing great right now. But that relationship between him and Travis Kelce makes it's almost incredible. It's almost impossible to stop.
You picking the Chiefs?
I am not.
Oh.
I'm taking, actually, the 49ers. And I'm taking them here because everybody's talking about the Chiefs defense and how great they've done in stopping the last few teams. The Ravens had a point, man. Go stop Zay Flowers. You got them. You know what I mean? Buffalo, go slow down Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. You got them. The San Francisco 49ers don't have a point, man. You go slow down Christian McCaffrey. Here comes Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
You go slow down Deebo Samuel. Here comes Brandon Ayuk. You got a Brandon Ayuk slowing down. Here comes Greg Jennings. George Kittle. So either way, there's a lot of people to stop. And you got the guy that makes the right decision every time, like Tom Brady does. I can disperse to any one of these guys, and I'm making the right decision. It'll be harder for Kansas City to stop San Fran.
Wow. There's some consternation this week over whether or not the Cowboys are close to winning a Super Bowl. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a lot of back and forth on that. I'll put it to you. Are the Cowboys close to winning a Super Bowl, Michael Irvin?
Yes, you're close, but close doesn't get you anywhere.
Right.
Close don't get you anything. It's just this. It's this nebulous thing that we talk about in conversations. When we saw close, we try to break down what it takes to win. And to break it down, I always say to people, football is different than most things. You can reach the top of your game in most professions by punching a computer. So anytime you improve your skill, you can go be the best. Because you just sharpen your skill.
Sure.
But in football, in our game, is hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat, everything. So as I sharpen my skill, since I'm going against another man, not another damn computer, I'm going against another man who has kids and want to eat, I got to sharpen my skill at the same time, deepen my will to beat such man.
Absolutely.
Because he wants to feed his family. And here's what the Cowboys have. They have the skill. I worry about the will.
Oh,
you get what I'm saying?
I do. Where does that start? Is that coach? Is that quarterback? Is that just
all
roster?
Of all of it. All of it. But it starts with the coach. Because how do you build a great will? How do you deepen your will by putting in hard work? When your mom said to you a long time ago, I'm not, babe, I'm not going to give you this money. I'll make you go and earn it and go work for it. See, when she gave it to you, you would spend it easily and throw it away easily because she was giving it to you. But when she made you cut the damn yard and go do all that to earn it, now you're going to spend that a little more different. A little differently. You're going to be wiser with it. You know what I mean? Be smarter with it. And that's the reality. We need guys to understand that this game is about will. Yeah. And I need to know how to put will in by working hard together, sweating, crying out here, getting our ass whooped out here. We're looking to each other eyes and say, we ain't going to let them beat us.
Yeah.
And that they don't have. And a coach should be able to help put it in you. Either if I can emotionally talk to you to put it in you, or I better work your ass to death to get it in you. But I got to get it in you.
Can coaches change your stripes and become that guy?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. It is always easier for me to come in hard and lighten up.
Yeah.
You'll never respect me if I come in light and harden up. If I come in easy and then try to get tough on you, you'll say, oh, this dude changing. But if I come in tough and lighten up, you'll say I'm earning his respect. He's starting to like me and keep working hard. You can only do it the one way.
I think we talk about sustained success here, and the Chiefs are going through it now. The Patriots, obviously, last decade. You guys in the 90s, I think everybody just says, all right, good quarterback, good roster. Yeah, you'll win a bunch of Super Bowls. Jimmy Johnson was the best psychologist in the history of football, frankly, just the way he was motivating and all that. Right. If you're telling people about that run for the Cowboys, what don't we know about how you guys had sustained greatness, and how do you actually get that when you're working on it day in and day out?
But there are a couple of things that I think we talk about when we are together. And I was with them just the other day, and we were doing an interview on a show together. And one thing we both pointed out was we came in and built this back up with the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. You know, my first year, we went 1-15. But, I mean, 3-13.
Yeah.
Troy's first year, we went 1-15. And then Emmitt, 7-9. And each year along the way, you know, we're thinking about the improvements. And man, we got to get better. We got to get better. We were having all those team meetings, but still getting our heads kicked in.
Yeah.
But once we got it and we worked so hard to get it, building that will for it that I'm talking about, beating each other up, working. Anybody that comes around, you got to either work like this or you got to pat your damn toes. You got to get out of here. We got to beat you got to beat feet, pat toes, get moving. Because that's how you sustain that greatness. You make everybody meet that right there. Emmitt and I, we never had an argument because we all knew we grew it together.
Yeah.
When you are put in and you don't build it, then everybody tries to take credit. And if they don't remember the suffering early, then it easily falls apart. So we never had an issue, man. And I think the closeness is what counts when you're getting at this level.
This isn't a question, it's a statement. Miami is going to be very good this year.
Yeah.
Miami Hurricanes are going to be very good.
Right, real good.
We're going to.
Right. And now, here again, that's true too. We it ain't come as quickly as everybody wanted. But Coach Cristobal is doing a good job, and you can see a little sustained growth. Last year, a few games on that kneel down, stuff like that, just little crazy stuff.
Wild stuff.
You got to clean on up. Yeah. But I think this will be a good year.
8 months till Gainesville, week one. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy. Wild.
All right, we do something called Badasses. It's the most badass person you've ever played with. And you played with a lot of badasses.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe Emmitt Smith said that Michael Irvin was the biggest badass he ever played with, along with a couple of the tight ends and fullbacks. But you have the floor, Michael Irvin. The biggest badass you ever played with in football was who?
Well, what's the criteria here?
I mean,
now?
You know, like
if you just talking about the greatest gifted, well, the greatest gifted athlete I've ever been around, I had to compete against was Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
this is the most talented, gifted athlete I've seen. I beat Deion on an out and up. I mean, I had him beat bad. And the dude ran the football, me, everybody down. That was God darn, this joker. Hey boy, it was like it's insane. And that was his introduction to the world, us against Florida State, actually. That picture was on Florida on Sports Illustrated where he ran me down, pushed me down, intercepted my ball. I intercepted the football and was running the other way. Phenomenal athlete. But you talking about bad dude. We never took off in the National Football League till this one dude came to the Dallas Cowboys. And I doubt you guys, many people know his name. We called him Big E. His name was Eric Williams. He played tackle. We were flat out afraid of going against guys like Reggie White and Jerome Brown. I've seen offensive linemen come out of the game, go to the trainer, and just say, I'm out. And they said, what's wrong, sir? I'm out. Jerome Brown and Reggie White. He said, well, what's wrong? Why are you not playing? Said, I'm hurt. Hurt where? They said, somewhere in here. I don't know. I'm just ain't going back out there. That's how intimidating them dudes were. Until we got this dude, Eric Williams.
Yeah.
I watched Reggie White throw 300-pound men, grown men, throw them 55 and 6 yards. And when Eric Williams came in, and I sat with him in the steam room, I said to E, I said, big fellow, what are you trying to do? He was head to head. I said, man, I got to make this team, Michael. I got to take care of my mom. I got to. I said, big fellow, so what's going on, man? He was just a rookie. I said, what's your biggest fear? He said, man, I got to take care of my mama. She did everything. He started crying. I said, big fella, all you do now is what you feel. Before every snap, you line up, you look across, and you say to yourself, this joker trying to stop me from feeding my mama. And then you whoop his butt. He was killing jokers on this football field. I wanted to take him back in the steam room and say, maybe we should retalk again. I mean, he was, he grabbed Reggie White and headbutted him. This before we knew anything about CTE and helmet. Headbutt, he asked Michael Strahan about him. Yeah. Boom, they were running from Big E. I was like, ooh, I don't know what, but Big E. If I had a football team, I'll start it with Big E over anybody in the whole wide world.
We have back in my house in the studio, we have a big board of all the badasses people have named. So we are going to get a Big E photo.
A Big E next week. Photo.
Next time we record from the studio, you'll see it. Tell us, Michael, what you're doing with Stunt.
Well, Stunt is about finding that place where we can all talk football, talk sports. You know, Stunt. It's the Stunt. It's the app. You go to the Stunt. But it's about a place because, you know, I've had a colorful life. And so, and I love sports so much.
Yeah, right?
So I always want to talk sports. But when you want to talk sports, everybody wants to use the great sports to pull you into other areas. They want to pull you over into politics and then pull you over into all kind of politics, all kind of things about politics, like presidents and White Houses, if you know what I mean. Stuff that I don't even want to talk about anymore. They keep bringing it up. The Stunt, we can get back to talking about sports. And we ain't got to talk about White Houses and all those kind of things, if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Thanks so much, Herb. All right, Bijan Robinson after this. All right, Bijan Robinson, Rookie of the Year candidate. A legendary Texas running back now with the Atlanta Falcons. He's here with C4. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm just enjoying this week. You know, enjoying everything that's going on. This
is actually cool... enjoying, or are you exhausted right now?
Okay. I mean, a little bit, but just trying to, you know, make the most of it and just have fun with it all.
Are you a Vegas guy?
Not really a Vegas guy. I've been to Vegas a lot because I'm from Arizona.
Of course.
So, you know, I had so many 7-on-7 tournaments here. I can't even like count them off my hand, but I've been here a lot of time, so I'll be still here.
I love that. Take me through what this week has been like. Obviously, you're going through the process, and you get to see everybody. I mean, like, even just walking around here, you see, you know, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, and anybody who just seems to be walking by. You can't go 5 feet without seeing somebody.
That's right.
What has it been like just be so exposed to the NFL community and seeing all the other stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, you play against a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you have so much respect for a lot of those guys, but even just here, just talking to them and you know, having a good time with each other and, you know, just showing the respect that we have, for each other throughout the season, throughout what we've done. It's a cool experience. Even seeing, like, the NFL legends and, you know, other celebrities and stars like that, that, you know, really respect who you are, respect you as a player. Like, it's definitely a cool feat. So it's been a good week, man.
I saw a stat this morning, actually. I don't know why someone is recirculating it, that you had the most forced missed tackles in the history of college football from the PFF era. You know that. There's no surprise here.
Right.
But I think it was a half a missed tackle a game, which, you know,
yeah,
when you're forcing that's pretty damn good. And I'm curious, this weekend, you look at the Niners. They break tackles at the NFL level as well as anybody as a team maybe we've ever seen.
That's
when you think about George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey.
They break a lot of tackles.
They break a lot of tackles. Take me through the art of how they break tackles.
I mean, it's something it's different for a lot of people. So, like, people can anticipate breaking tackles and is already, like, looking forward to doing it. Or, like, with me, you know, I always say, you know, it's a gift from God, you know, to have a gift like that. But it's more of an instinct. So I'm seeing what a defender's doing that split second, and I'm coming up with a move that split second or doing something to get that defender on his toes and, you know, to make him think I'm going one way and then go another way and then they'll miss. But I feel like that's something that people try not to do, because you can get blown up like that. You get blasted. But for me, it's more of like step on the toes.
Yeah.
And then I'm making a miss in a split second. But I mean, it's definitely something that you got to practice and continue to do and have experience with, because I mean, you do it the wrong way, then they'll get blasted.
I think
a lot of guys on the 49ers do a really good job of you know, stepping on the toes and getting the defender uncomfortable and then making that move and breaking those tackles.
What are you reading on a defender? Like, when you're about, you said you make them, you know, you use their own body movements against them. But you know, when you're looking at a guy, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at his eyes.
Oh,
I'm looking right into his eyes. And when you look into his eyes, then it kind of gets him in a different predicament. Like,
yeah.
Okay, he's not looking down. He's not looking at my hips or at my shoulders. Like,
sure.
Because I feel like if you look at hips, like, it's not really a give or tell, because guys are good with their hips and they're coming up like this, so you don't know what's going to happen. But if you're looking in their eyes and they're looking at you, then they can't look at nothing else in your body except what you're looking at. And that's how you break that tackle right there. It gets a paranoid.
You can do a no-look pass. You cannot do a no-look tackle.
You cannot do a no-look tackle at all.
What was your favorite missed tackle, forced missed tackle this year in the NFL?
Shoot, it was actually against the Cardinals.
Okay.
And no. It was against the Colts.
Okay.
And I reversed the field. Like, I saw the hole, but it closed, so I reversed. And this big D lineman tried to come, and I just, like, I did some acrobatic move and like went down to the ground and like spun out of it and reverse field and got a first down. But it was probably one of the craziest things I've done. Like, I know I'd be doing some like weird stuff on the field, but that was one where it even got me, and I was like, well, this is crazy.
It's crazy because I remember talking to George Kittle about this a couple of years ago, and you got, obviously, George Kittle's massive
and,
you know, blocking, but he'd said when he got to San Francisco, they taught him, like, stay in bounds and go right at guys.
Go right at guys.
Because a lot of times you think, like, okay, you know, the coaches were really saying, if you run at guys, some of them will get out of the way, or some of them will arm tackle or whatever. And I feel like there's a little, it's not a lost art, because it's never really, you know, these guys are bigger, stronger, faster than ever. But, like, that's the key. They just keep going and good things will happen.
And a lot of guys don't want to tackle.
Yes.
Like, a lot of guys don't want to tackle. They don't want to put their body in and, you know, in stress. So when you're going at them, like, it's something that takes mentality.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy that wants to keep on getting hit, then keep on getting hit. But at some point, you're going to be like, all right, they're coming real hard. And, you know, for me, that's what I pride in. So, you know, giving them something at the beginning, and then, you know, towards the third quarter, back in the second quarter, like, that's when you start making moves, and then they don't know what to do. Like, it's just something that you just got to just feel the defender off of and feel what they're feeling, and then you'll always win that matchup.
Kittle calls that moment his Spider-Man origin story, where he just realized, just go right at guys.
Everything will work out. Just do it.
What impressed you about Christian McCaffrey?
You know, the thing that impressed me the most is, you know, he eats up ground really fast.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily speed.
Yeah.
But with his quickness, you know, he can make somebody miss or get through a hole. and get to the first down quick. And I think with him is, you know, I think what people don't give him credit for is, you know, he's a hard runner.
Yeah.
Like he'll put his head down and he'll try to run you over. Obviously, you know, with his size, people don't think that he's like that, but I really respect that he will give you the shoulder. He'll give you, you know, that contact balance that he has. And I feel like that's really important for a running back to have is, you know, very good contact balance and trying to put your head down, but still staying up. And that's something that he's really good at.
New regime, obviously, in Atlanta. I was there in August and visited with a bunch of you guys. And I really enjoyed the roster and the vibe around that team. And I'm curious, obviously, Zach Robinson's new offensive coordinator. What do you like about that system? Obviously, he spent some time in L.A. He understands that kind of thing. What do you like about that system that you're going into?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he does that. They do that one back, three receivers extremely well. And it benefits everybody in the offense.
Yeah.
So I think everybody who's on the field, like, that's what it benefits, the tight end, the receivers, the running back, like, quarterback, everybody is eating. And even with what the Rams did, like, you had Puka, Kyron Williams, and then, God, who am I forgetting? Who's the other one?
Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I was going to say Cooper
Kupp. And then, like, just all of them.
Yeah.
And how you got to use that talent on that field effectively. And that's what I respect about them the most. And I think if you can do something like that with the Falcons and with us, then it would be sky's the limit.
Is there a usage thing, not to dwell on the past, but is there something at the NFL level you'd like to be doing more of from a usage scheme standpoint?
Honestly, I would just say, you know, my dream for the usage scheme is getting all the guys on the offense that, you know, are doing the work, you know, those spectacular seasons. Like I feel like there's those offensive coordinators like Detroit, you know, they got 2,000-yard you know, running backs, and then you have 1,000-yard receiver, almost 1,000-yard receiver, like you have 1,000-yard tight end or almost or whatever it was, like. Everybody on that offense was doing exceptional things. And when you find a guy like that, and when you got a guy like that, that can open up everybody for the offense, then, I mean, you'll be unstoppable.
All right, let's do some rapid fire. Hardest tackler in the NFL? A guy you just did not want to see in front of you anymore.
Derrick Brown. That was the guy. You know, I think he's one of the best ones in the league, if not the best one in the league at his position. But yeah, I run away from him.
So I was looking at some stats like a month ago. The season ended. I'm looking at like run stops.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, he's the one.
Dude, Derrick Brown, it's like,
he's the one.
Barry Bonds 2002. Like he's like lapping the field. I've never seen anything like it. What makes him great?
Because he runs.
Yeah.
For how big he is, like he doesn't give up on plays. He runs sideline to sideline and he runs to the football. Like if I'm running outside zone play out here and he's over here, he gonna get there somehow, some way, if you don't block him or, you know, if he's just free. And, you know, I gotta look for him every time, try to break his tackle, spin out of it, something, just because you got a big 340-pound dude coming at you and he's fast. He ain't slow. So I'll say he's the one that I'm like, all right.
That's our memo to Zach Robinson. We'll play the Panthers. Get
Derrick Brown
away from Derrick Brown,
and I'll run at him, and then make a move. Like, but cover him up.
We have to. We implore you. Keep our guy away from Derrick Brown.
Yes, sir.
All right. We do something called badasses, and you've only been in the league 1 year, so maybe it has to be Texas, or maybe it's just someone in Atlanta. It's the most badass person you've ever played with. Could be anybody for any reason. Just like when you think, all right, this guy either is a maniac in the practice field, maniac in a game. It doesn't matter. Where are you going?
I'm going to go with DeMarvian Overshown. He played at Texas.
Yeah.
Linebacker. He was the one where I was like, man, this dude, he brings it.
Yeah.
Every single time in practice. And I mean, that dude is just like energetic, like getting everybody going. So I would definitely say he's the one that's definitely the badass.
I love that. Sure. I love that. If you could take one skill from any other running back in the NFL, where are you going?
one skill. Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's what I would say. That stiff arm is deadly. And I've seen him stiff arm somebody to the ground again when they played us. And I was like, man, this is crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's throwing small guys around. He'll throw big guys to the ground.
Yes.
He'll run right at guys. I've never seen anything like his running style.
Yeah, I was like, all right, this is crazy.
This is actually unbelievable.
Crazy. So I'll definitely take a stiff arm.
I think you might be banned from the league if you got Derrick Henry stiff
arm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's
that would be incredible.
Yeah. We do something called One Rep Back, where you can relive any rep of your career, any play of your career, do it over again.
Okay.
What are you picking? College or pro?
I'm going to say I had a fumble in college against Texas Tech in overtime. The first play of overtime, and we lost that fast. And, I mean, it was so, like, I was so hurt just from my teammates and my team, and that it had to be me. So I would definitely want to take that one back for sure, especially, like, how we were rolling at the beginning of the season, too.
Yeah, understandable. All right, tell us what you're doing with C4.
Yep, so this is – first of all, this is my favorite flavor right here.
Beautiful.
And this is definitely the best, I would say, energy drink that you can drink. And in life, working out, or just a normal day, you know, work day. But, you know, this is the best performance drink for me. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, benefits to it, whether it's in your blood cells and get your heart pumping. And, you know, you shouldn't get scared of drinking it before you work out, because, you know, there's enough, I would say, calories and, you know, here to help you out for a good drink, and it'll just get you to wake up. But I love C4. I've been partnered with them for a long time, and, you know, they definitely help me out a lot when it comes to branding, when it comes to, you know, getting the right things in for me. So this is the one right here. And if you guys want a flavor, give us one right here.
Bang.
That's one. So,
all right. Yeah. Awesome. Bijan Robinson, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you.
Aiden Hutchinson next.
Aiden Hutchinson is here. He's with Gatorade. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Are you a Vegas guy? I'm asking everybody. Are you a Vegas guy?
I just gambled for the first time yesterday and lost some money. So I would say no. But, you know, you can do about 3 days in Vegas and get away with it.
Now, wait a second. This is your first gambling experience ever. Take me through it.
Just playing a little craps for the first time with my marketing agent. Lost a lot of money playing roulette. I was just hammering black all over again.
Okay.
So I'll be back at it tonight, though.
Do you want to get better? Is this a point of improvement for you, or are you just you're good?
I'm good, man.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Video games and gambling are the two things where I'm like, if I was a little bit better, my life would be ruined.
I know,
like,
right?
I'll just stop after an hour doing both, and I can actually have a productive life.
100%.
That's how I view that.
I agree.
When you're telling your grandchildren about this season and how special it was for the city of Detroit, what's the one moment that you're going to talk about?
I think just how we battled adversity. You know, I thought we did it very well. And we, I mean, we did some historic things. You know, we climbed mountains, many, many mountains people didn't think we could climb.
Yep.
And, you know, won our first playoff game, won the divisional. And unfortunately, I feel like we should be in this Super Bowl game. But I feel like getting over this season and kind of moving on with the history and kind of getting all that noise out, I think for the future, it's going to set us up good.
I think I've known, I mean, any Midwestern city is like this, but Detroit in particular, and you know this, having grown up and knowing so much about the state, that was a lion's town ready to unleash itself, you know, and the lean times maybe confused people a little bit about what kind of football town it was. When it started to come back, what was the game where you were just like, oh my God, this is what I knew Detroit could be as a football town? Is there a game where you entered in and were like, oh my God?
Yeah, I would say is that divisional game.
Yeah.
That was the loudest game I've ever heard in my life. And I mean, I think the decibels that we had in there were just, they were unreal. And you could feel it on defense, man. Every series, every drive, Ford Field, I mean, there's not too many people in there, but man, they get loud. And I felt the spirit of Detroit in that game.
That is so cool. Couple things about that, or the playoff run that I want to dive into. First of all, this Niners team, if you're giving advice to the Chiefs on how to defend this Niners team with all their weapons, with Kyle Shanahan, where do you start?
I think defensively, you got to stop the run. Of course, you know, the Christian McCaffrey is their pillar of a run game. And in the first half, we did do that well against them. And I think that's why we're having a lot of success. And, you know, second half, they came in kind of just taking deep shots on us. And we couldn't really stop the momentum. But I feel like if you stop the run game, that kind of makes them more one-dimensional. And I think they definitely do better when they can run it, pass it, play action, mix in there. So I feel like that is priority number one for that defense.
Obviously, the big attention was on Dan Campbell and the fourth down stuff. I defended Dan Campbell, and I got tons of crap from, you know, Twitter user, you know, Bears fans, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I felt, and I've talked to Dan about this, that first of all, I don't think it was analytics based. I think that he learned to be aggressive from Sean Payton, and he used to see how scared defenses would get, and he would go for it because he likes that kind of the fear you will instill when you go for it on fourth down. So I defended it for a bunch of reasons. In that locker room, the feeling after that game when everybody's criticizing the coach was what?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough, but I feel like that's our identity. And I feel like if you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Yep.
And we won a lot of games being aggressive like that.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, that you're also you might lose a couple too. And just so happens in that time that, you know, we did lose a couple. And you got to live with that because, again, that's just who we've been all year. And that's how he's called it all year. And when it works out, everyone's happy. When it doesn't work out, obviously, people will be critical. So that's just the nature of this game.
Your former college coach is now back in the NFL. I think that's going to be a roaring success just because I don't think people realize, like, Jim Harbaugh is the winningest active coach in football. Like, literally, like, that's his winning percentage because he was so good in San Francisco. This plays out how with Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL?
I think he's going to have a lot of success. I feel like the buy-in is going to be at an all-time high just with all his college success and a lot of the good things. I mean, everyone just says good things about him, you know, when at Michigan when he's leaving. So I think he's going to have a lot of success, and I feel like the guys there are going to buy into his leadership, and it's definitely going to be different, but I think it'll be good for him.
What's the future of the Michigan program now? I mean, it just feels like it's just in such a good place, and the momentum is just rolling, and they're going to, you know, not a lot of guys in the portal and stuff like that.
That was
a concern, like with Alabama. The future of that program is what?
I think they've kept a lot of the Michigan guys in their program, having Sharone be the head coach. Even our strength coach, they're bringing in-house people to kind of follow up these jobs. And I feel like that's really important. And that's why they're going to continue to have the success.
Jared Goff, obviously, you mentioned the divisional game. I'll always think about those chants of Jared Goff and how much the city rallied around him. His future, obviously, I think he wants to stay in Detroit. Everybody wants him to stay in Detroit. Is it pretty much universal? I mean, obviously, the contract stuff is yet to be resolved, but Jared Goff's the guy?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, it was ridiculous. Even when we were in San Fran, again, in the second quarter, the crowd was singing, Jared Goff, Jared. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, we're in the NFC Championship away, and we got the crowd cheering our quarterback's name. You're like, what in what world, you know?
Dude, they were chanting like Red Wings games.
Yes, it was ridiculous. Oh yeah. And at Red Wings, dude, it's like the Detroit has just welcomed him and just took him in with open arms, you know, despite a lot of adversity at first, and now everyone's just bought in, you know.
What's the one thing we don't know about Dan Campbell that I think would surprise people who follow football?
I think something a lot of people don't know is he grew up like a farm boy.
Yeah.
So whenever he's given us all these speeches, they usually relate to some farm or to some horse or to some, I don't know. I feel like he's just, his upbringing, like he always talks about it. And he's just this country kid from Texas. And it's just, I love his story.
So I called him his old Texan end buddies and I was doing that story with him. And it was like, he's like, Russell Cavs and stuff.
Yes,
like,
dude, he's nuts.
He's authentic on that. Can you give me an example of a speech he gave that involved farm animals?
Dude, I want to give you this horse story, but I forgot. Like, I got to remember it. I don't know if I can remember it right now. It was something with a horse. What was it? I'm not going to remember, but I knew. I'm never going to forget that he gave this horse story and everybody was dying of laughter. But I, unfortunately, I do not have that.
I will come find you in Allen Park, August, and we will get the horse story. Final come here. All right, we do something called Badasses. Most badass person you've ever been around in football. It could be any level, doesn't matter. We know what the definition of football badass is. Yeah. You have the floor, Aiden Hutchinson. Who's your badass?
Oh, God. All time?
All time. Just like
who I played with?
Yeah, guy. Or played against. But yeah.
Oh, God. Let me think. Oh, shoot. Can I go like college?
Sure.
Okay. College, we had a fullback named Ben Mason. He's still in the league playing fullback, but if there's anybody who's like a badass, that guy would stick his head through a concrete wall for the University of Michigan. And like, I sit there, they're running their ISO plays over and over again. He's the lead blocker. And I'm like, that takes a different breed to do that over and over again.
I love that. We do something called one rep back. You get to relive any play of your career, get to do it over again, get to do it right. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be something small in high school. Could be someone in the NFC title game. Doesn't matter. You get to have one rep back. What is it, 800?
One rep back?
One rep back. You get to relive it, and you just get to do it over again.
I'd probably say that Kittle play in the NFC championship because I'm convinced to this day our helmets were stuck together. I couldn't see, and I was telling him that on the field, and we were joking about it so much on the field. But, I had that one Kittle play in the NFC championship that was actually really funny looking back on it. But that'd be my one play.
All right, Aiden Hutchinson, we'll have the horse story at some point this summer. We will get it. Thanks so much. Oh, tell us what you're doing with Gatorade.
Oh, yeah, right. Gatorade just launched Gatorade ID, which is their new and free membership platform. And you can visit Gatorade.com to customize your own bottle with Gatorade ID.
Love that.